Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. We are a ministry dedicated to instructing and teaching the Jewish roots of the Christian faith to Gentile Christians and reintroducing the Jewishness of Jesus and the New Testament to the Jewish people in Israel through gospel outreaches conducted there three times a year. And we need your support to do that. It takes a considerable amount of money to continue these outreaches to the people of Israel. The Scripture clearly tells us that the divine order of evangelism given by the Lord to the church is that we are to take the gospel to the Jew first, and then the Gentile, Romans 1:16. And this ministry has been doing that very thing now for 10 years. But we need your support. We need your help. Christians have a responsibility of bringing the gospel of the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua, back to His ethnic people. And you can either do that by going yourself or by some supporting ministries like ours, who are devoted to this. So we need to hear from you, and we humbly and earnestly crave your financial support. We also have a free ministry newsletter, bi-monthly newsletter, called Search the Scriptures. And in it, we chronicle our witnessing, gospel witnessing experience with the Jews in Israel. That's free upon request. And at the end of this program, as with every program, the announcer will tell you how you can write to us and also contact us. Well, today we continue to look at prophecies about the Messiah dealing with His humanity as the Son of Man. And last time we were looking at the temptations of the Messiah. He was tempted in all points as we are, the writer of Hebrews says, yet without sin. There was no sin in the Messiah. In fact, Jesus affirmed this of Himself when challenging His enemies with this question in John 8:46, which of you convicts me of sin? They could not find any fault with the Master. So in the end, when He stood on trial for His life before the Sanhedrin, they produced false witnesses to make up alleged charges against Him. And those charges, as we know, were bogus. Now let's move on. Let's talk about the Messiah's joy. Yes, contrary to popular opinion and a tacit tradition in the church, Jesus was a man of joy. Often the world has this picture of Jesus as being dour-looking, thin, emaciated, and moribund in disposition. He was not that at all. Yes, the Messiah Jesus was subject and a partaker of our infirmities, sorrows, and sufferings, as Hebrews 4:15 and Hebrews 5:7 tells us. But He also shared the positive aspect of our human emotions, which would include joy and happiness. So let us talk about the Messiah's joy. Again, one of the great paradoxes, living paradoxes of the Scriptures, is that Messiah was a man of great joy, while at the same time He was the great man of sorrows. Yet, He experienced gladness, joy, rejoicing, and the like. In fact, these terms, gladness, joy, rejoicing, and happiness, appear in the Gospels, and they are very much akin to each other. Joy is sometimes translated gladness. in the Gospels, as with the RV reading of Mark 4:16, and as rejoicing in Romans 12:12. The word happiness can also mean blessed. That's why when you go to the Beatitudes that Jesus spoke on the Sermon on, when he gave the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes are, each one is prefaced with blessed. Some translations translate that as happy. So the word Baruch in Hebrew for blessed can also be translated to mean happy. And so when you look at this, we will then discover that Yeshua the Messiah was a man who had joy, who was glad at things. Now there is, of course, a qualitative distinction and difference between joy and happiness. They are not one and the same. They are two different emotions. Happiness depends usually upon what happens. It's dependent upon circumstances. If all goes well and nothing disturbs our comfortable equilibrium, our pleasure, and so forth, we are then happy. But if circumstances suddenly become adverse, contrary, and militate against what makes us happy, then we quickly become sad, angry, unhappy, and perhaps despondent. Happiness and unhappiness, therefore, cannot exist together. Joy and sorrow, however, can coexist together, because joy is different from happiness. And the reason why I'm going into this practical and working definition is to show you how the Messiah was a man of joy as well as a man of sorrows at the same time. Joy is different than happiness because it is not dependent or contingent upon circumstances working out to a person's satisfaction. Trials and tribulations can actually buoy up and give us joy. And this is because when our joy is in the Lord, we know that nothing or no one can disturb or change God's perfect and glorious plan for us, even when that plan should include going through suffering, trials and tribulations, as the Lord Himself did. That's why the writer of Hebrews said that the Lord endured the shame of the cross because of the joy set before Him. Hebrews 2:2, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus persevered with joy that He might have the joy of accomplishment in the end when He fulfilled and accomplish the Father's will for man's redemption by suffering and dying on the cross, and from that cross to grant atonement to all. Even Gethsemane could not disturb Messiah's tranquility of heart and His determined disposition to complete the redemptive mission His Father set out for Him. That was because of the Lord's unswerving obedience, the Son of Man's unswerving obedience to the Heavenly Father. Our Lord's joy was immovably fixed and transfixed upon doing the will of God the Father. Therefore, this joy was inextinguishable, unchangeable, immovable. So much so that neither demons or men, or sorrow or suffering could not rob Him of the joy set before Him as He trod the path, the woeful and horrible path of Calvary. He knew the end result. Because of that, he had joy in the midst of sorrow. Such characterizes the Son of Man, Yeshua, the Messiah. Now, Messianic prophecy does tell us that the Messiah would be a man of joy. Yes, in Psalm 45:7, we read, speaking of Messiah here and his impeccable character, you love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. So the Messiah here would have great joy. And the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, shows how this psalm is a messianic prophecy, pointing to and being fulfilled by the Messiah himself, Yeshua, or Jesus of Nazareth. He was a man of joy. And then you read what the ministry of the Messiah would entail among men. Isaiah 61 also mentions the giving of joy in that mission. You know the famous messianic opening of Isaiah 61. Jesus quoted it in the synagogue at Nazareth to officially inaugurate and begin his ministry as Israel's Messiah among the Jewish people. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." And then the prophet goes on to list the various functions that this messianic anointing would equip and enable the anointed Messiah to do. Notice verse 3. To give the oil of joy for mourning. Now some believe, of course, that the latter part of verse 2 through 3 and on will be fulfilled with the second coming of Jesus the Messiah to Israel. But the application can hold true today. The Messiah does give joy for those who are burdened by the sorrow of their sins. He gives the joy of forgiveness, that God wipes all of our sins clean and washes them whiter than snow. He gives us the joy of reconciliation with a God in heaven who adopts us as His sons and daughters into His forever family, never to be forsaken or turned away as outcasts again. He gives us the joy of conquering death by His resurrection, though we should die before He returns. Ultimately, in the end, the resurrection of Messiah Jesus is the down payment and irrevocable guarantee of our resurrection. Praise the Lord. He gives us the joy of Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, who abides in us and indwells us as Jesus' supernatural and divine vicar or representative on earth. The Holy Spirit is the true vicar of Christ, and no man takes that position or authority. That's given to the Holy Spirit, who gives us the joy of personally knowing Yeshua. And Jesus did experience joy when He rejoiced. Throughout the Gospels, we are told He rejoiced in spirit. In Luke 10:21, we might go over this more detail later. He rejoiced in spirit when, I believe it was the 70 He sent out, came back and told Him all the miracles they had done in His name, and the lost who had gotten saved with their proclamation of the Gospel. He rejoiced, the Scripture says, Luke 10:20, He rejoiced in spirit. To have Yeshua's joy is to have God's strength. Nehemiah 8:10. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. The messianic prophecy about Jesus' resurrection from the dead, given in Psalm 16, also includes the overwhelming experience of joy, where it is written in Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Now, Jesus possessed perfect, unbounded, and joy that comes from the nature of God. Go to John 15. Jesus has joy to give. John 15, as the Son of Man, as the Messiah, He says this, John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you, that My, notice that, My joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Now, in the context there, the Lord's joy came from obedience to God the Father. And it's so true. When you obey God, not out of some servile fear that you're going to be condemned and punished, but rather out of a joyful heart, knowing that He's your Father and He will give all things to you that pertain to life and godliness, and that all the things that He gives you are perfect. And when you obey Him in this regard, joy, the very joy of the Messiah will flood your soul. Obedience brings a blessing. Obedience to God and His commandments bring joy. Not again as a condition or a requirement for your salvation. Rather, as one of the gifts and fruits stemming from that salvation that is received by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus says that here, that when we obey His commandments, the joy that He has in obeying the Father will be ours too. So Yeshua, the Messiah, was a man of joy. No question about that, as this verse in John 15:11 tells us. And He repeats that again in John 16:24. The Messiah's joy is to be experienced by the believers in the Messiah, Jesus. John 16:24 states, until now you have asked nothing in My name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy might be full. So we learn in John 15:11 that the Messiah's joy is given to us when we obey Him. And now that joy also is given when we pray in His name and our prayers are answered. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we are simply asking God by the authority, power, and character of His Son to answer our prayers. That is what's bound up in the word name. And again here we see the deity of Messiah. Because we are told to pray in His name. The name of Yeshua is the personal name of God the Son. Nowhere in Scripture are we told to pray to any other person except God. We are not to pray or ask the help of dead saints. We are not to pray to any other God who is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Who is not the God and Father of our Adon Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when Yeshua says here we are to pray, and Yeshua is Hebrew for Jesus, which Jesus is the English transliteration of the Greek name for Jesus, which was the name written throughout the Greek New Testament. It is a legitimate transliterated name for Jesus. People get hung up on properly pronouncing Jesus' name. I think God knows who you mean when you say Jesus, and I think He knows that it's His Jewish Son, His divine Son, who is the Jewish Savior, I should say. Anyway, when Jesus says here we are to pray in His name, He is asking us to affirm that He is God, the God who can answer prayer. And when that answered prayer comes, joy will be our experience to that answered prayer prayed in the name of Yeshua, who has joy to give. And no doubt Yeshua experienced joy every time He communed and asked His Father, prayed to His Father, and the Father did what? the Son had asked. And so that same joy that Yeshua experienced can also be ours when our prayers are answered, offered in His divine name. And then again, the joy of the Messiah is repeated. The joy of Messiah, because He was a man of joy, a Messiah of joy. John 17:13. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world. This is Jesus speaking, praying for the church. He says, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So the Messiah was a man of joy. The joy of Yeshua, let's keep in mind, was not superficial, temporary, or circumstantial. But it was a joy unspeakable, immovable, everlasting and full of glory. And this is the same joy He makes His own the recipients of, according to 1 Peter 1:8. Jesus' joy was fulfilled in doing the Father's will, fulfilled in His disciples, fulfilled when the lost come to know Him, as the parables of the lost being saved in Luke 15 teach us. Jesus found great joy in the work of evangelism. And through that holy enterprise, people were coming to accept Him, believe on Him, and receive salvation. So it would seem as if Yeshua found His greatest joy in seeing men and women saved and emancipated from the bondage of sin. Remember what He told the disciples, that there was joy in heaven among the angels over one sinner who had repented. Luke 15. And again, I mention when the 70 came back, Jesus sent out to preach the gospel. When they came back with the successful report of miraculous and supernatural things accomplished in the name of Yeshua, we read that Yeshua rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. So here we have our Messiah, filled with joy over the lost getting saved. Every Christian and every and all the Talmudim, the disciples of Jesus, should be evangelists. They should be sharing their faith, witnessing about Him, proclaiming the gospel, because it gives our Master great joy. Jesus' joy should not be misunderstood to mean an excessive emotionalism, or comprised or expressed through inordinate affection. No, Jesus' joy was tempered with sobriety and self-control. I like what one Christian writer says along these lines. A.R. Bond says, Jesus came that men might know the truth, which is an intellectual process, that they might love God and men, which is an emotional process, and that they might live righteously, which is a volitional process. So the Christian faith, the faith that Biblical Judaism conceived and bore, this faith has an intellectual aspect to it. It has an emotional aspect, and it has a volitional aspect. The Christian faith involves the heart, the mind, and the body. Amen. And so, if you separate those triune characteristics that make up the biblical faith of Christianity, then it becomes imbalanced. For if you say only that the Christian faith, or faith in Jesus the Messiah, is only involves the intellect and the head, then you end up with a cold, unfeeling orthodoxy. If you say faith in Jesus the Messiah as a Christian is a faith of the heart, then you end up with emotional mysticism. If you say the Christian faith in Jesus the Messiah involves acts of the body, then you end up with a gospel of works. No, they all combine together to form the faith of Christian faith in Jesus as Messiah. Joy is one of the things the Messiah possessed in without measure, as Psalm 45 told us, without measure. And it is this joy the Messiah gives to us. It is one of the fruits, one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5, 22. Joy is the outcome of faith and hope, Romans 5, 2 and 15, 4. The nature of God Himself is joy. It is the ground on which He is. Joy is one of the things that define God's character. So God wants us to have the joy of the Messiah because He was joyful. Joy comes in a variety of ways. Persecution for Jesus' sake enhances joy according to what He taught in Matthew 5, 11, and 12. And the disciples experienced that when they were persecuted by the Sanhedrin of Jerusalem, Acts 5, 41. And that is true. When you're accounted worthy to suffer for the Messiah, it paradoxically brings about His joy. Joy from the Messiah, one has said, can be remembered with an instructive acrostic. Joy would be that acrostic. First, there's the J in joy, which stands for Jesus. He is first. Then there's the O, which means others. They come second. And then there's the Y, which stands for you, that comes last. And so joy in this acrostic, God's joy comes when you put Yeshua first, others second, and your own needs last. So let us rejoice with the Messiah's joy in our obedience to Him, in our answered prayers given to us from Him when we pray in His name, and let His joy fill our hearts when we seek to evangelize the lost of this world. And they are many, many. It's not our joy, it comes from Him. Let His joy become ours when we are counted worthy to suffer any type of persecution for profession of belief in His name and are following Him. There is joy in the presence of the Lord. And that does not mean when we get to heaven we'll experience that joy. True, we'll experience Messiah's joy there in an unbounded fashion, unlike here. But you can have His joy now through prayer, obedience, and praise and worship. There also is found the joy the Messiah gives us, a supernatural joy that cannot be moved or disturbed by anything in our inward constitution or in our outward circumstances. Though we are sinners saved by grace, nothing within can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, and nothing without, be it human, demonic, natural, supernatural, or death itself, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That, my friend, is the basis of our rejoicing in Him as we receive the joy of Messiah, who is always joyful. Until next time, Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.